It is good to be in his presence. It is good. I get to share with you my heart today. And I am so nervous, I am shaking. But I know you are a gracious people and you will not judge me if I choke. So. Oh, you turned off the background. The rushing waters. We sang about rivers and oceans while the baptismal tank was being filled this morning. And I was hoping for the soundtrack because I was going to let you know that I wouldn't judge you if you got up to use the bathroom because that water's been running a long time. Just going to get my stuff together here. Say a prayer for me quick in your hearts because I'm shaking. Okay, we can do this. We can do this. Okay. So a couple months ago, I was with my friend at the school picking up our kids, and she looked at me and she said, "I think it's about time you get up and preach." And I looked at her and I laughed. I said, "Yeah, right." And we just kind of left. And she's like, no, I'm serious. I believe that you are going to be up there sooner than later, and you'll be speaking at NWC. And I just kind of laughed at her, and I thought, no way. There's no way. And sure enough, the following week, I came into the office, and I'm sitting down with Pastor Tim, and we're going through the tasks that we have for all the graphics and media here at the church, which I do. And he says to me, I have one more question for you. I was like, okay, what else do I need to do that I haven't gotten done yet? And he says, "So, how would you feel about preaching?" I said, "Christina called you, didn't she?" She's like, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Christina, she called you. She told me last week that I'd be getting up there preaching." "No, I have no idea what you're talking about." So the Lord spoke to both of them, and in that, he spoke to me as well. When you are supposed to do something, even though it terrifies you sometimes, it is the thing that you just need to do. God just gives you the words. When you don't feel adequate, he puts it in your heart, and he gives you the words to speak, and we just believe that they're from him, and they will be planted in our hearts. So, as I was thinking about my message all through September, I had it all planned out, what I was going to talk about, and then sure enough, we're on vacation, and the Lord tells me, "Nope, I got something else for you." So over the last month or so, couple weeks, he has been just changing the message that I had. He's changed it around. And last week, as I was praying, I was walking around. We have a beautiful conservation area behind our home, and I love walking my dog there. And I thought, I'm going to go out there. I'm just going to pray as I'm walking my dog. And we have a boxer, so praying while walking him is very difficult because he is hyper. He is two, and it's just terrible. He's very difficult to walk. So I was trying to pray, and the words that the Lord kept saying to me as I was walking was, "Cultivate an ear to hear." And cultivate isn't a word that I use in my day-to-day conversations, but it was very clear to me. He wants us to cultivate an ear to hear his word. He wants to cultivate our hearts to receive his word. And then from there, we need to honor his words. So, and it's very important that we need to learn to hear his voice above the chaos in this world. Now is a difficult time in our world. The world is changing. It's becoming a place where we tend to become fearful and we have anxiety when we're looking at the world. And now is our time where we need to learn to listen clearly to his voice and to his leading. So while we were in Florida, this is when my message all started changing in my heart. We were in Orlando and I love the beach. And so my husband and my family would decide that we're going to drive 2 hours down to Clearwater Beach and just enjoy the day on the sand and in the surf. And let me tell you, it was a beautiful day. There were dolphins out there. There were manatees. And we just enjoyed every second sitting on the beach. And there's only one thing more that I love than the beach, and that is the Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays spring training camp is just down the road from Clearwater. So in my mind, I thought, we are going to go to the beach. I'm going to lay in the sand. I'm going to swim. And then I'm going to go see the Blue Jays. And it was my perfect day. And don't you know, the Lord always has something different for us. So we enjoyed our day there, and we went for dinner. We're sitting like at this little beach cafe. And we have four children. And for any of you who have traveled with children, you know the thing that they say the most is, "I have to pee." right? Wherever you go, they always have to go to the bathroom, and it's always at the most inconvenient times. So we're just finishing our dinner, and of course I take all four of them probably 15 times to the bathroom, and I thought, okay, that's got to be enough. Let's go into the car. We're going to drive to Dunedin. We're going to check out the dome, and then we're going to travel back to Orlando. So as soon as we get into the car, my 10-year-old, who I expect more from, of course, says, "Mom, I have to pee." I'm like, "Are you kidding me? You just went 15 times in the restaurant, and now you got to go again?" And she's just like, "I got to go, Mom. I got to go." And of course, the fleshly nature in me got so annoyed with her. I was just so frustrated. So I thought, do you know what? Whatever. Let's just forget the Blue Jays. Like, who needs to see them? And we're just going to start driving. And we pulled into a Walgreens, of all places. Just a Walgreens. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go look for some extra sunscreen because I ran out. And that way I'm making a purchase while we're using their bathrooms. And we took some time in there. Not only was I annoyed that she had to use the bathroom, but I was also annoyed because they don't carry a natural sunscreen, and I like using natural products. So I couldn't find anything for my kids, and I just walked out of the store feeling just frustrated, just very fleshly and frustrated. And I climb into the car, and Joe and I look over, and we see a lady at a bus stop, and she is just weeping. And sorry, I get a little choked up about this. And the Lord told us, you know, go to see if she's okay. So we drove our car over, and the kids are looking at us, and they're looking at her. She's just crying. And I said, "Are you okay?" She's like, "No, it's just a bad day." So I said, "Okay, can I pray for you?" Just simple words, "Can I pray for you?" And she doubled over, and she just started pouring out her heart to us. And I jumped out of the car right away. I ran over to her. And she told us that a few days before, it had been the anniversary of the death of her infant. It had passed away because her husband had gotten high, and he had forgotten that he was watching their baby, and the baby suffocated in its infant chair. Not only that, she had just lost her job because of Hurricane Irma. And because she didn't have a job, she couldn't pay her rent, and so she had just been evicted the day before. Her husband was currently in jail for murder, and she had just found out that day that she was pregnant. So she's weeping. She got on the bus, where we found her at a bus stop. She had gotten on the bus from the doctor's office, and she had planned on taking that bus to a bridge to jump off. And she had fallen asleep on the bus and woke up at that particular bus stop at the opposite end of town where she had planned on going, and that's where we had found her. So she asked if we were from Clearwater. No. She asked if we were snowbirds. No. She asked if we were vacationing in Clearwater. Again, no. We had just picked that day to go. And when we told her that we were from Niagara, again, she burst into tears because she couldn't believe that God cared enough for her to send someone at that exact moment. So we gave her some money to help cover rent for a new place. And we were hugging her, and I'm not a hugger, guys. So we were just like trying to pour out God's love on her. We were just hugging her and holding her at this bus stop. And as we're praying for her, another man just walks up and gives her more money. And she used some choice language and said, "God showed up like my knight in shining armor. And he arrived in a white SUV. And I believe that he cares for me." And that's where this message just was birthed. Where we need to hear from the Lord. And I almost missed it, guys. I needed my daughter's bladder to tell me to stop. And it's so important. People are hurting out there. And this world is changing. And we need to hear his voice. And we need to follow his leading. So the word cultivate. Like I said, it's not a word that we use in our day-to-day language. So I looked it up. And it's to prepare and work on, to promote or improve the growth of by labor and attention, to develop or improve by education and training, train, refine, to promote the growth or development of, foster, and to devote oneself to. So as the Lord was telling me, we need to cultivate an ear to hear. We need to simultaneously cultivate our ear to hear God's voice and cultivate our hearts to receive his words. So the two work hand in hand. We need to learn to listen and let his word take place in our heart. And then we need to learn to honor and heed what he is saying. I have a lot of scriptures, so if you have your Bibles ready, or your phones, I like using my phones in church. Let's turn to the parable of the sower in Luke 8. All right, I'll just start reading. Okay, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. And the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what the parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they hear the word, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and a time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on the way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And as for that in good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So I'm going to use this the components of this parable in the context of hearing from God. So first, let's look at the seed. The seed is God's word. It's what he says to you and me. So if we look at a kernel of corn, we plant the corn, and what grows? An ear of corn. And in that ear, it has the same DNA as the kernel that was planted. So when God speaks to us, he deposits his DNA, or his life, into his words. He speaks to us in seed form, and when the seed is cultivated, when it's developed, when it's processed, it produces more fruit. Also, if you plant an acorn, what does that produce? An oak tree. And sometimes, well, not sometimes, always, it takes years for an oak tree to grow, right? So sometimes it takes time for that word in our hearts to grow. We need to be patient. We need to be willing to work through that soil, work with that seed. And then what happens? Hundreds more acorns grow on that oak tree. And then as those acorns fall and are planted, more oaks grow. So we can't be impatient waiting for that seed to grow. And when he speaks to us, it produces fruit in our heart if we have cultivated the soil. So if we look at the soil is the condition of our hearts. So the seed has capacity to reproduce anywhere it's planted. But what's the limiting factor? The limiting factor is the condition of the soil. So when God speaks to us, he is depositing things that have impact on our lives and on eternity. The only limiter is the condition of the soil, which is our hearts. So we look at verse 14, and as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. So this is the soil that receives many seeds or many words. So where did the thorns come from? The thorns are also product of seeds. Everything starts as a seed. So we have the seeds that God has planted, and then we have the seeds that have been planted, but not by God. So it's like the cares and the riches of this world. The cares are the divisive mind, right? When we have a divided mind, when we can't separate God's word from the chaos and the cares of this world. So when we have seeds that God, so that is when we give ourselves to other things and tune out his voice. That's when the seeds of fear or chaos, comparison, anger, those are just some of the thorns that grow up, and they choke out the voice and the promise of God. So we need to cultivate our ear to hear his voice, and then cultivate our heart to let his words take root in us. We need to cultivate the soil to get rid of the thorns so that his words aren't choked out. Everyone knows the law of attraction, right? So if you gossip, if you swear, then people that do the same are gravitated to you. If you're negative, people who are downers are gravitated to you. But if you value words of promise, what will you attract? You will attract people who value words of promise. If you steward yourself and cultivate your heart, you will attract His words of promise. So one way to develop the soil of your heart is to surround yourself with people who are filled with His promises, those who speak truth and life. And I know we have a lot of those people here. It is a great place to get immersed at NWC. Get into a life group. You will be surrounded by people who are filled with His promises. And another way, surround yourself with podcasts. Simple things. What are you listening to at home? Are you surrounding yourself with worship? Are you surrounding yourself with speakers who are filling you with promise, who are speaking His word? It's so important. John 16, verse 12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. He has so much that He wants to tell us. He has so much. He wants the opportunity. We need to give Him the opportunity to share what is on His heart to a willing hearer. Our hearts and our ears need to be cultivated to be able to carry the weight of His words, His promise, and His presence, because that's what He wants to share with us. He never withholds His voice out of punishment. And I know that's something that I have always thought. You know, we've all had seasons where we feel that God is silent, where we've asked God, why are you silent? Why aren't you answering me? I am praying, I'm asking you for some words. Just where are you? Has anyone else felt that way, or am I the only one? Yeah. And often I felt like, what did I do wrong that you're not speaking to me? But He never, never withholds His voice out of punishment. He either wants us to be prepared and positioned for what is ahead, or He has already told us what He wanted us to hear, and we need to revisit it and see if we are living what He has spoken to us. Let's turn to Matthew 19. I'm going to read about the rich young ruler. And this scripture just really popped out to me as I was studying this week, just because I've never looked at it in this light before. It's verse 16. And behold, a man came up to Him saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And He said to him, Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to Him, All these I have kept. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So I've always looked at the scripture as go and sell everything and, you know, in a missions context. Go sell, live with the poor, preach the gospel. And that's always how I've just studied it and it's always been in my mind. But let's look at it a little bit differently. So the rich young ruler asked Jesus how to receive eternal life. And Jesus recites the law to him. And the ruler says, well, which commandments, which ones do I have to follow? So Jesus repeats them and says, do that and you'll be fine. So follow these commandments and you'll be fine. He didn't give the ruler any new revelation that he wasn't living with and that he already didn't know. Everything Jesus said was what the ruler already knew. But he hadn't finished what had already been spoken to him. And so Jesus didn't add to his responsibility by increasing his revelation. But he points the young ruler back to what he already knows he's not living. And I think so many times, myself, I want to hear something new from the Lord. Father, give me something new. Give me a new revelation, something that I didn't know. But I'm not at the place where I'm living what I already know. It really struck me this week as I was reading that. He's not withholding things because He doesn't want us to know. He's withholding it because I'm not doing what He's already told me. So sometimes we are searching for this new revelation, and we just need to do what He's already asked from us. All right, so that was cultivating your heart. Now let's learn to cultivate our ear. The more I say cultivate, the stranger it sounds to me. Such a weird word. So cultivating our ear, it takes work, refining, development, and devotion. It does not happen overnight. We need to spend time in his word and in worship, asking him to speak to us, and then we learn what his voice sounds like. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 3. I don't have this on the keynote, Faith, because I didn't actually plan on reading it until last night. I have to just say something cute. My daughter made me a bookmark last night, and I didn't realize that she used Sharpie, and it was still wet when I put it in my Bible, so now I have a pink polka-dotted Bible in 1 Samuel. It's very fancy. All right, 1 Samuel 3, we're going to read verse 1 to 11. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called Samuel again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." Ooh, that sounds exciting for Samuel. Tingling ears sounds exciting. So Samuel was ministering to Eli, and the Lord calls Samuel while he's resting. Samuel assumes it's Eli calling. So the Lord calls Samuel again, and Samuel runs back to Eli. "You called me, here I am." And verse 7 says, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. He didn't know the Lord. He didn't recognize his voice. And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So then when the Lord called Samuel again, Eli perceived it was the Lord calling, and Samuel told him to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Right? Just recapping the story here. So there are times when we will miss his voice, when we don't know it's him calling us. We need to tune our ear to his voice, and we need to hear things repeated in our heart. "Lord, is that you speaking?" So the Lord came to Samuel three times before Samuel both saw and heard him. And I think it's amazing that he is always wanting to reach out to us. He wants us to hear from him. Before we even know him, before we recognize his voice, he is reaching out to us and he is calling us. He is eager to speak with us. And he wants to speak with us more than we realize. Each one of us, it doesn't matter where we are in our life. It doesn't matter. Like it says here, Samuel did not even know the Lord. So he didn't have a relationship with the Lord. Yet the Lord eagerly chased after him to speak to him. It's like when we make a phone call, we call someone for the first time, and we don't recognize their voice on the phone, we usually make an introduction, right? So, "Hello, this is Annika. I'm calling from NWC." And I bet if I called, 99% of you probably wouldn't recognize my voice on the phone. However, if we were friends and we chatted quite often, we would learn to recognize the voice, the intonation, the inflections of the voice, and the sooner we would recognize it as well. So instead of an introduction, it would just be like, "Hey," and you'd know exactly who it was. It's the same with God. As we spend time with him, learning the inflections of his voice, the way he speaks to us specifically, because he speaks to each of us in different ways, the sooner we will recognize when he calls. Are we good so far? So quiet. So why is it important to hear his voice? It's important because we are co-laborers with him. He's not doing his work on the earth alone, and we're not left here on our own. We are working with him, and it's important that we can hear where he is leading us as we are walking our path here. We live in a day that is crucial, that we listen to his voice through the storm and the fear that is being dumped on us. Fear and chaos have access to our heart. I think there's a lot of things that are happening around the world that affect our hearts in more negative ways than positive right now. You know, we are informed of destruction from every angle. You know, there's politics, there's human trafficking, there's terrorism, there's persecution. And where are we finding all of this out? We're watching TV, we're reading the news, we're on Twitter. I get all my news from Twitter, it's faster. And Facebook. So it's easy to look at the world in fear. But we cannot be sucked into the consequences of reacting in fear. We need to guard our hearts. So my daughter, last night she was a court sweeper at the Niagara River Lions basketball game. And it was exciting. It was really fun. And does anyone know what a court sweeper is? So basically they have this mop, and they mop all the 6'10" guys' sweat off the floor, and like all their shoe scuffs. It's actually pretty gross. She was telling me after that, like, she got hit with some guy's sweat. She was, yeah. These guys are big. They're playing hard. It's just a gross job. But she really wanted to do it, so I thought it was great. So she's sweeping away, and I had the other kids with me in the stands. And if you've ever gone to a sports game, are they quiet? No, it is noisy. There are mascots running around. There are children running around. It is noisy. There's lots of distraction. And we're in the stands, and we yell, "Chael, Chael!" We're like cheering her on because she is so nervous that she's going to get hit by this. His name's Big Sam, and he's big. He's called Big Sam for a reason. And she was terrified that he was going to trip and land on her. So we're yelling her name, and what does she do? She recognizes our voice among the chaos. Why? Because we spend time with her. We spend time communicating daily so she can pick out the sound of our voice above the noise of the distractions. We need to have an ear that has been developed to hear his voice above the chaos. The world is chaos, and we need to hear his voice because in reality, as scary as the world is, this is an amazing time to live in. So many good things. The gospel is being spread. So many people are coming to know the Lord. Places in China, the underground church, my mom was telling me there were thousands that were baptized in the underground church in China just a couple weeks ago. Amazing things are happening, but we need to tune our ear. We need to guard our hearts and focus on his voice above all the chaos that is happening. So we need to spend time reading his word. And so many times I felt like, God, I don't even know what I've read. You know, I don't remember what I read. And I think we've all had those arguments in our heart. I don't remember. But do you remember what you had for breakfast 2 weeks ago? I don't, but I know that it nourished me. And we need to spend time in prayer. And I've used this argument to, God, I just fall asleep while I'm praying. Like, I'm so tired. I have 4 kids. I'm working. We have so much going on. I'm laying in bed praying and I fall asleep. But does a father ever reprimand his child for falling asleep in his arms? Mm-mm. So honoring his voice. God wants to speak to us every day of our lives, in every area of our lives. And we have a responsibility. It's our responsibility to honor his voice. So when we were in Florida, God didn't audibly say, stop at Walgreens. I didn't hear, go to Walgreens, drive down that road. Make sure you spend 15 minutes looking for sunscreen, and then I'll line it up all perfectly. No, he didn't say that to me. I'm going to be honest. I didn't feel anything except a lot of annoyance. But he used the prodding of JL, needing to use the bathroom. And then when we were there, what I did hear was, stop and pray. And we had a responsibility to honor that voice in our hearts. And who knows what the outcome would have been if we did not listen. I think about that lady, and it just breaks my heart all the time. What would have happened if I just looked at her and said, I don't really feel like it today. I'm on vacation. We have a responsibility to honor him. Let's go to the beginning in Genesis. So there's the interaction of God and man and one other person. And just one extra person can make a difference in honoring his voice. We always have the choice to honor or ignore it. Genesis 3, I'm going to read 8 to 13. Hey, my cheerleader right there. She's rooting me on there. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." We'll stop there. So we have Eve talking to the serpent, you know, garden, Adam and Eve walking with the Lord in the garden. Then Eve speaks to the serpent, and they eat the fruit. Then in verse 8, we have God. He's calling Adam. "Adam, where are you?" You know, how lost must you be for God not to be able to find you, right? You must be really separating yourself from his voice then. And Adam says, "I heard your voice, and I was scared. I heard your voice, and I was scared." So Adam chased the voice of life away, so there was nothing to chase fear away. What happens when we ignore or chase his voice away? Chaos starts happening in our minds and in our hearts. Fear comes in, anxiety begins. And then Adam turns and blames Eve. "That woman that you gave me." So what did Adam do? He turns himself into a victim. He's blaming Eve. So there's three people on the planet, right? There's God, there's Adam, there's Eve. And Adam feels that two of them are against him. So he's feeling pretty lonely right there. He's turning himself into a victim. And God asks Adam if he stepped out of his voice. And Adam has the choice, and he responds as the victim. So it reminds me of my own children. I talk about my children a lot because that's who I'm with the most. And when they were little, I don't know why kids play this game, they put their fingers in each other's mouths, and then they blame the other kid for biting them. It doesn't make sense, right? Like, you're putting your finger in someone else's mouth, and then you're mad at them when they bite you. But that's what Adam was doing, right? He's turning himself into a victim for what he has done. If we jump to chapter 4, verses 2 to 7, it says, "Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it.' So Cain offers a sacrifice that God did not ask for. Cain was angry that God did not accept his offering, and God asked, 'Why are you angry? Why are you angry, Cain?' And God answers, 'Don't you know, if you do well, you will be cheerful, and if you don't do well, sin is crouching at your door looking to master you. You were created to overcome sin.'" We were created to overcome sin. How? By staying connected to the voice, or we let it rule over us. There are things that will make us angry. They will offend us. They will hurt us. They will scare us. And when we get angry, we feel what? We feel powerless to stop something that is happening. But anger doesn't equal powerful. I tell that to my kids all the time when they get mad at me. Anger doesn't equal powerful. Cain felt powerless, hurt, and rejected, and as a result, he chose to separate himself from the voice of God. But God is speaking and directing us through every day. We have a connection to his voice. Like Adam, Adam was walking with him. He had a connection. We have a connection to his voice. And we have a choice whether to listen to it or to walk away. And if we listen to it, what happens? We live in joy, right? Or when we ignore it, when we push it away, we live in consequences. So now, in a time of chaos around the world, it's a time we need to cultivate our hearts to hear the voice of God and where He is leading us. We need to listen to what He's saying instead of entering a destructive cycle where we don't listen to His leading. So often we listen to our spouses, our friends, our family, TV personalities, more than we listen to His voice. And everywhere we look, there is anxiety-producing opportunities around us. I looked up just an anxiety statistic this week, just because I was curious, because I feel like that's something that so many of us struggle with right now in the world. And the Canadian Anxiety Disorder Association says 1 in 4 Canadians, so that's 25%, will have an anxiety disorder in their lifetime. But here's the good news. If we listen to His voice, if we stay connected to His voice, we can push away the fear, we can push away the anxiety, we can push away the stress. The enemy is dividing the enemy is dividing people into little groups and making us afraid of each other. So he's creating religious groups, political groups, sexual orientation groups, gender groups, right? And he's making us afraid. He's putting us all in different categories. So the Greek word for categories is kategoria, which comes from categorian, which is to speak against, to accuse, to assert, and to predicate. So who is the accuser? The enemy, the accuser, is creating categories, and then he gives us permission to stand with him and make accusations. So many times I look at the world that we're in right now, and I have fear in my heart for my children growing up. I think, oh, if it's like this now, what is it going to be like in 15 years when my kids are old enough to be out on their own, right? And it makes me feel worried, makes me feel scared. But is that fear of the Lord? Absolutely not. We need to pay attention to these strategies and dynamics. We don't have permission to turn from people and turn them into categories. So you're this, so you're over here, and you're that over there. Oh, all the men go over here, and the women, you know, let's separate ourselves and go over here. And we all become fearful of each other and the roles that we have, right? So you voted for this political party, and so go over here, and, well, you don't wear Nike shoes, so go back there. You know? And it would have been so easy for me to look at that lady at Walgreens at the bus stop. She was full of sweat. She was full of snot. She was full of tears. And it would have been easy for me to think, whoa, her husband's in jail for murder. Let me just take a couple steps back and put her in another category, right? But we need to hear His voice. We need to hear what He wants us to do. And we need to hear what our role is. His love is the same for everyone, despite where we have placed them in our minds. So in a world that is screaming fear, there is still a voice that is screaming love, and His voice is screaming love much louder than the fear that the TV personalities are screaming at us. We need to stay connected to that voice. We need an ear to hear His love and a heart to receive it and a heart to share it. I was listening to Danny Silk, one of my favorite leaders. I think he's hilarious. And he gave this example. Many of you are parents, some new parents, some dog owners. I think it all kind of works together. And think back to the time where you had no sleep. And those days still feel very fresh, very fresh. It's been about a decade. And I'm going to give this little disclaimer because I have a wonderful husband. And those midnight hours, he was wonderful and he helped me and he was with the babies more than I was, if I can say that. So you remember having a little baby, and the baby's in the house, and the baby's crying, and what happens? Dad plays dead, right? He's laying in bed like he's deaf. He's deaf and he's dead. And the voice of the Lord says, help your wife. And what does he do? He honors that voice. He honors it. He protects what God has said in his heart. And he gets out of bed, he feeds the baby, he changes it, and he comes back in bed and he sees his wife sleeping there so sweetly. He gives her like a little kiss on the cheek, gives her a hug, and he's happy for her rest. He goes back, he's feeling cheerful because it's 3 a.m., and of course, he wasn't cheerful at 3 a.m. He's done such a great job, lays back down and gets into a deep sleep. Right? That's how it goes, right? It actually did in our house. But there is a choice, and you don't have to honor that voice. And you can betray the voice like Adam and Cain did. And as soon as you betray that voice, you enter deception. And the lens you are perceiving the scenario from has been perverted. So you lay there until your wife gets out of bed. And you perceive the whole situation. Yeah, well, I deserve to stay here. The reason I lay in this bed is because I have to work tomorrow, and she can nap or sleep anytime the baby does. She can take 8-minute naps all day long. That's totally realistic, right? And it's her job. I have to go to work and make the money. It's my right to lay here. It's her job to do what she's doing. I am teaching her a lesson. Don't expect me to get out of this bed and take care of the baby in the middle of the night. The reason I'm doing this is because you are ungrateful and you really don't care because you have no idea how hard I work and how exhausted I am. So the reason I'm laying in bed is because of you. So what happens when we ignore that voice in our heart? We give permission to blame other people. And that's what Adam did. Adam said, "She made me do it." And Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" We turn ourselves into victims and we blame others. So we cannot step away from where God is leading or ignore his voice, or we give ourselves permission to blame those around us. And when we give permission to blame others and be offended, we give our freedom away. It chases us away from his voice and separates us from what he is leading us to do. And that is when we allow those thorn seeds that we talked about in the parable of the sower, we allow those thorns to grow in our heart. There is a war between love and fear and where we are positioning ourselves. Have we cultivated an ear to hear his voice above the fear and the chaos? It is easy to become separated from his voice. Let's jump to the book of Luke. Luke 9. So we have James and John. They're coming back from Jerusalem with Jesus. They were with him. He just fed 5,000 people. He foretold his death. He healed a boy with an unclean spirit. You'd think that they know his voice, right? Just naturally. You're walking with him. You think you know it. Okay. Chapter 9, verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. And when the disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" And he turned and rebuked them. So the Samaritan village rejects Jesus, and James and John are offended on his behalf. They ask Jesus if he wants them to call down fire from heaven to consume him. So I kind of picture my kids in this, James and John as my kids, and they're like, "You rejected Jesus? Burn!" And then throw like a little dab or something in it, right? That's what I just kind of picture them being a little bit overzealous here. So somewhere they got separated from his voice, and he was standing right there. He didn't come to destroy people. He came to save them. We cannot listen to the voices outside his leading. Our ears need to be constantly tuned into him. It's not our inability to hear his voice, but the willingness to hear other voices. Our attention and affection is always going to be competed for. And faith comes from hearing God's voice. Another one of my favorite, probably my most favorite leaders is Bill Johnson. And I love this quote. It says, "Instead of emphasizing our inability to hear God's voice, we need to emphasize his ability to be heard." So like Samuel, God reached out repeatedly. He eagerly reached out to Samuel. If we're speaking to someone who can't hear us clearly, we naturally do things like raise our voice. We wait for them to look at us. We emphasize our words. We take on the responsibility to be heard. And if we do that naturally as humans, how much more will God do that as our Heavenly Father? He will make certain that he can be heard. Going back to Florida, I did not hear him direct us to Walgreens. There wasn't a flashing light above the store saying, "Stop here." But he made himself heard. How? Through my daughter's persistence. And from there, we tended our hearts to his voice. We need to respond to his nudges because our lives depend on his voice, and his voice will never contradict his word. So if you're questioning if it's God speaking to you, just go to the word. His voice never contradicts his word. Matthew 4:4, it says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He wants to speak to us. He doesn't want to live without him speaking to us. So it's not so much the ability as it is willingness. The biggest enemy of our heart is busyness. So despite busy schedules, we need to maintain peace in our hearts in order to hear his voice. He can speak dramatically through circumstances, and sometimes he uses words. It can be loud around us, but it cannot be loud in our hearts for him, for us to hear his voice. So cultivate your heart, guard your heart, tend the soils, make the ground in your heart rich and pure so that you can receive his words. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Watch over your heart, protect it so that words can be planted in it. Cultivate your ear, learn to recognize his voice. Don't focus on your inability to hear, recognize his ability to be heard, and spend time learning how he speaks. And then honor his voice. Don't push his voice aside. When you choose to ignore his voice, there are consequences, and he will not reveal more to you. Adam, Cain, the rich young ruler, nothing more was revealed to them. But if you choose to listen, plant it in your heart, for there is joy and promise that's fulfilled. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I thank you that you want to speak to us. I thank you that you eagerly chase after us. God, it doesn't matter how long we've known you. It doesn't matter what gender we are, Father. I thank you that you speak to us because you want to, because you love us, and because there are things you want to share with us. And so I pray this week, God, that your words will be so loud in our ears, God, that we will cultivate our hearts, that we will work on the soil of our hearts and make it rich and pure so that your words will take deep root in them. Thank you, Father, for all the things that you want to say. We just love you so much, Jesus. Amen.